Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
All right, well, hey, how you guys doing? You guys doing good? Yeah, that's good. Good, 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 good. My name is David. I am the high school pastor here at Refuge. Some of my crew, there you go, some of you guys woke up before 8 o'clock. That's rad. You guys are here. I'm down. It's very cool. Hey, from the get-go, I am really humbled to be here. I'm humbled to be able to share anything. I've come to these conferences since we've been doing them, and I have always been blessed. And so it is my prayer, my heart. I believe it's God's heart for every individual in here that you guys would be blessed as well. And what I want to do too is I just want to first start off by saying thanks to Mike. I don't know where Mike's at right now. For that, there you are. For that solid word, bro. Thank you so much. That was really, really good. As I was even saying earlier, super impactful for me. Love the fact that as he was talking about the ripple effect. And as I was hearing this, and Mike was sharing this with us earlier this week as well, I started thinking about the ripple effect of men here at Refuge that have impacted me, or just the men that have impacted me here, and just how it continues to go on. I wanted to share one quick thing. There was, I would say this is probably about maybe like a year ago, my wife and I, it's in the middle of the night. We have three boys. Judah, who's throwing the punch right there. Everything is, you tell him to smile and everything is a punch right now. He's my oldest. He's 4 years old. You got Aaron right there. I don't know if you can see in his hand. We have a Lightning McQueen. That is the world right now for that kid. And then you got Kanan, who's working on his GQ Blue Steel modeling look right there. Blue Steel, yeah. And so we got four, almost three, and one and a half. And this story involves my oldest, Judah, right here. My wife and I were sleeping. We get woken up. We have a little monitor, so we can hear the boys and things like that. And Judah had woken up and he was crying. For most parents, you are able to tell, okay, homie's hungry. He had a bad dream. He's hurting, whatever. There's different cries, right? And for us, we knew immediately it was like, hey, our boy is scared. He must have had a bad dream. So I get up out of bed. I want to love on him. I want to be hero. I just want to be there for him. And as I get out of bed, kind of circle around the room a bit, his cry kind of changes a little bit, and we think we hear singing. I'm like, okay, what's going on, And so instead of going out of my room into his room, I go to the monitor and I turn it up. And sure enough, he was crying, but he was singing. It was kind of like this mixed until the crying kind of stopped and the singing prevailed, and then he went to sleep. We turned up the monitor to see what is this kid singing, right? This almost sounds like it's out of a horror thing. I hear singing in the middle of the night, right? He was singing the song "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So," right? So that's a rad. That was a rad moment. Scared in the middle of the night. And I don't care what, because I've had people say, they're young. They don't really know what they're doing. They don't know if they pray or if they sing. I see my kid and he's afraid at night. And instead of calling out to dad, who he knows will come, or mom, he sings a song about Jesus. That is insanely awesome, right? There you go, right? Here's the two things that came to my mind when that happened. Jesus, thank you. I don't know this kid's theology. I don't know what the heck's going on, but he knows that he can turn to you when he's scared. And the second thing I thought was, I suck. I didn't teach him that song. That wasn't me. I'm literally, it was this moment of God, you're good. David, you're not, dude. What? It turns out, who taught him that song, it was Peter Wright. and Linda, who consistently and faithfully lead our children here in worship. And there's other people that are involved in that as well. And I'm like, dude, like this. So men stepping up, leading, living out what God has called them to do, they impact people. In this case, they impacted my 3-year-old boy at the time, which then impacts dad. And now mom and dad sing this song to them every night before we go to bed. And it's just one of those, again, the ripple effect in full motion, right? As I said earlier, I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for the word earlier, casting vision as to what things could be like if we as men said yes to God, and really in just all aspects of our lives. In our session today, I just want to keep that ball moving forward. And so with our time together, I want to talk about leadership. Now, not as the world would define it, but as we see in Scripture. So if you are note takers, that's not the slide right there. If you are note takers, I have entitled this "The Call to Lead and the Character to Do So." But before we do that, I want to commit our time to the Lord in prayer. And so, Father, we just come before you again, and we just say, Lord, we need you. God, we need you to speak. Lord, nobody needs to hear from me. But God, we do need to hear from you. Holy Spirit, would you just do what only you can do? God, I am well aware that whenever a group of people gather, there is just such a mixture. There's probably a lot of people here that are just on fire for you. There's some people here that are like, I still can't believe I'm here, right? I'm waiting for the tacos later or whatever it may be. God, you have the ability to reach and to speak with every person, and I pray that you would do that, God. And I want to move forward in that, Lord. And so we thank you for who you are. We love you. We praise you. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. We're going to try this one more time and see if the slide... But what I would love to do in our time together is highlight three principles found in Scripture surrounding this topic of leadership. And I tried to make it at like, I mean, this is such a huge topic. It's a huge subject, right? And so I tried boiling it down into things that I thought were super, super simple. I have the three on a slide. We'll see if that gets up, but just, I'm going to say them right here. And if the slides get going, that'd be awesome. Leadership principle number one. I'm going to list all three of them, and then we're going to kind of go through them. Leadership principle number one. It is a call of God to all men. It is a call of God to all men. Listen, regardless of your giftings, your natural talents, thank you, perfect, or temperaments. Number two, it's about who you are, not what you do. And three, it's about surrender. Now, I want to say this. When the Lord is stirring this up in my heart, it was almost like, you're kidding me, right? Because if you were to ask me on things that I'm confident in talking about, leadership would not be at the top of the list. I don't know if it'd even be in the middle of the list. I am not an expert by any means. I'm not the guys that you go, you know, the Maxwells, the you know, whoever, right? Praise God for those men and their voice in leadership. But again, my approach this morning is not necessarily the implement these practices to increase your effectiveness as a leader. Again, there are men who can speak very authoritatively into that arena. I want today to be simple. I want it to be encouraging. I want it to be thought-provoking again, which is why I boiled it down to these three. So getting to it, number one, leadership principle number one, it is a call of God to all men, regardless of giftings, natural talents, or temperaments. How many of you studied through the book of Genesis before? Like, not, okay, so that's awesome. So not just devotionally, but you've dove into that. So that's good. So much of God's desire for mankind, as Mike alluded in our last session, in Genesis, God desires so much, and in the very beginning, it shows God's desired structure for man. God masterfully and intelligently and lovingly created all things with specific order. Here's what's interesting. It's an order that's for our good, and it's an order that is for God's glory. Within the first three chapters of Genesis, we see God give man his marching orders. I have a couple of these, and we're just going to kind of go through these really quick, right? Genesis 1:26. He was, the man, was to rule over or have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, livestock, the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. Later in Genesis 2, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. Again, a lot of Genesis 2. Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field, every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock and the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. And then we know this passage as well, right? Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, that they shall become one flesh. Now, just in a couple of chapters of the first book in the Bible, you see there is a clear call from God on men to lead. Now, this case is continually built if you just continue reading through Scripture, right? We didn't have time to go through. We'd be here for a very long time. But God intended for men to work. That's before the fall. My first job, I was like, hey, this cannot be, you know, no way. This has to be the fall. It turns out it's not, right? No, God intended men to work. God intended for men to be in a spot of decision-making and responsibility. That's Scripture. God intended for the man to lead in his marriage spiritually, right? We see this happen, right? God's design in his heart for all men is that they would lead. And we only looked at a couple of chapters, but here's the problem. With this, right? Obviously, not all men are doing this. Or maybe a more accurate way to say that is not all men are leading in a way that brings glory to God. There's a lot of leaders out there, right? They're leading people to themselves. Sometimes we've unknowingly led people to ourselves. Not all men are leading to glorify God. And I think if we were to do a survey, which we won't right now, but if we were to ask, what qualities do you think leaders should have? Man, we would get just, you know, it would be everywhere, right? These were some that I had come up with and thought that, you know, I've heard people say this too, right? A good leader needs to be able to articulate clearly, passionately, authoritatively, right? A good leader needs to be decisive, sure of themselves. Good leader needs years and years and years and years of experience. A good leader must thrive in a strategic environment, right? They must be able to promote themselves well and rally people for their cause. Now, none of those are bad. A lot of those are great, right? But almost all, not all of them, but almost all of them might be tailored more towards people with a specific temperament or like a natural set of talents, right? So for those of you here today that might be more like myself, and I am like naturally timid, like I need people in my corner saying, hey, go, you know, you got this. Like, and for the longest time, I'm thinking to myself, well, God must have nothing in the area of leading anybody because I'm not these things. All these different things, right? I guess I'm not a leader. And I would just say if that is you and you've ever struggled with that thought process, right? We need to know that God, like emphatically, he's called you to lead today. He's called you to do that. It's not about what comes natural. It's not about what feels natural. It's literally a part of God's masterful, like creation, when he created things with order, like God intended for this to happen, right? Oswald Chambers, he defined leadership as this, and I love this because it's simple. I'm simple. I like simplicity, right? Leadership is impact, right? Leadership is impact. So godly leadership or biblical leadership would be then godly or biblical impact. So to lead is to impact, it's to influence those around you for the better. This does not mean that every single one of us is called to be like the CEO or the head honcho at your jobs, right? Some of you are, and that's great, but not all of us are called or, you know, gifted to be in that position of leadership, right? Doesn't mean we all go and we're like a keynote speaker at some massive business conference on how to build like really effective, you know, leadership teams. And again, but what it does mean is that right now, God has called you where you're at to make an impact and to influence. And that's not for the guy next to you, it's for you to do, right? And so many of the problems that we see today, and Mike alluded to this many times, right? But so many of the problems that we see today really do stem from men not doing what God has clearly laid out, right? Men not stepping up and leading in the way that God has called them to lead. You think of just right now, I'm thinking of dads, maybe because I just talked about my kids, right? Dads matter. Fathers matter. They like they matter, right? Men that take the charge seriously to lead the way God calls them to lead, they leave lasting impact, which then turns into legacy stuff, and it just replicates over and over. Now, other than Jesus, right, my dad has been the biggest influencer in my life. That man is awesome, right? Best man in my wedding. Like, I love this man, right? He taught me what patience was and what long-suffering was, not by his words, but by the way he acted towards me when I sucked, like for a long time, right? Like, he just showed me over and over. He taught me what it meant to treat women with respect. My dad was very kind and would never really speak harshly, but if when I spoke out of turn to my mom, he let me know that wasn't okay, right? And again, there was a lot of times that I did that. Many apologies to my mom since being saved, for sure. He taught me always to look out for my sisters. I have two older sisters. It was difficult trying to be the older brother, you know, when their boyfriends are like 7 years older than me, right? Turns out it doesn't work that good. A junior high kid trying to pick on a senior, you know? I tried, you know? He taught me always to look out for those who are being picked on or by themselves. He taught me to never assume you know where someone's been. He showed me continually that the love that he gives me was not dependent upon me being worthy of it. He just gave it to me because I was his kid. Man, I tell people this all the time. Like, if I could just like impact my kids, like even just remotely the way my dad did, like I'm chilling. I will crush it as a father. Now here's the reality, though, is not everybody grows up or has that kind of, consistent influence in their lives. Not everybody has that, you know, has the dad that impacted me, right? That's not the story for a lot of people. There's some stats I saw, a guy named Dr. Anthony Bradley, in regards to, you know, what we're talking about here. He said this, and I felt this is crazy. 85% of youths in prison come from fatherless homes. 71% of dropouts come from fatherless homes. 90%, that is insane, of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 60 of youth suicides are from fatherless homes, right? This list just keeps on going, right? This is just a little bit, right? Leading might not feel natural to many in here today, but the God who knows you and I better than we could possibly know ourselves has created you and created me to impact and influence where we're at. Now, not all of us are dads right now. That might be down the road. It's so important, right? And what's crazy is we can come up with the best reasons. I mean, the best as to why it can't be us and should be somebody else, right? Well, I know I can at least, right? I'll call it the Moses effect. You guys know Moses? God, you've got the wrong guy. God's like, I've got the manual, bro. I created it. Like, I don't have the wrong guy. Trust me. We listed some earlier. I just don't have the leadership qualities, whatever those are. I'm too young. I don't have enough experience. I don't have my life figured out. How the heck can I lead? Right? That's one right there. And honestly, for others, this is a really, really loaded topic. This one right here. You don't understand how badly I've messed up. You don't understand how I've squandered my position to lead in the past. I feel like I have forfeited the right to lead. That's a real thing, right? And I would just say, you are right. I do not understand. And many of us have squandered our positions to lead time and time again. And maybe some of us here feel like, okay, I hear you, but like I've actually blown it. Like I've gone very far. I feel like I didn't just forfeit the right now. I really feel like it was a forever thing. Like I just, it's done. That's done. We're not worthy to lead anymore in any capacity because of what we've done and the hurt we've caused. And I would just say, this is where gospel like needs to be championed here. It has to be. This is where the power of the gospel shines forth like crazy. This is what makes the beauty, we talk about that all the time, the beauty of God's grace, it makes it real. Because we need it, right? It turns out God's into restoration. It turns out like he's actually into that. Like he really, that's his heart. He restores what we broke. He's all about giving grace to those who have utterly blown it. And so if you question that, I've gone too far, I've done, you know, I would just say, open up the Bible and look at the men that God has chosen to lead. It's great. You're like, that guy is a screw up. And you're like, yeah, that's my kind of guy, right? And you're just like, he doesn't use all. It's like, man, over and over and over, he uses people, and their track records are just like kind of like ours, you know, misfits at times. In other words, our failure to lead well in the past has not negated God's heart and intention for you as a man to lead and to lead well right where you are today. We could spend the rest of the time here, but for time's sake, we got to keep going. Leadership principle one, it's a call of God to all men. Again, regardless of temperaments and talents and all those different things. Number two, it's about who you are, not what you do. Now, here's what's simple or what's interesting. Whenever I talk and say this phrase to people, depending on your personality, you might be beefing with me immediately, right? You're like, don't tell me what I do doesn't matter. I promise you, I am not saying that, right? That would be a ridiculous and unbiblical statement to make. All throughout Scripture, we see a bunch of these do qualities, and we see them all throughout life as well, right? You see somebody with amazing work ethic. Amazing, right? You want that. That's awesome. When you see people go out of their way to help someone in need, that's an act. That's a do. That's awesome. When you faithfully give your time to become students of your wives, your children, when you faithfully listen to your parents or those who have authority over you, when you give of your finances to the things and the works of the Lord, we can go on and on with these different things. All of those are great. And all of those are things that I desire truthfully to grow in. But listen, all of those are a byproduct of something that happens before, right? Our actions rarely happen without something motivating them first. What I find so interesting about Jesus and about when I read Scripture is it seems that he is far more concerned with who you and I are as individuals, rather than anything we can do or produce. And I think it's because he understands that who we are determines what we do, right? Simple, like who we are determines what we do. James puts it this way. In James chapter 3, he says, does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers and sisters? Or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a saltwater spring yield fresh water. Now, this is in context to the way we talk, the things that we say, if you guys have read through James before, how we do or don't control what comes out of our mouth, our tongue, right? But this principle still applies here. If the spring or the source is fresh, the end result is fresh, right? If what motivates the action is pure, then the action will follow suit. Am I making sense? Okay, We can't give out what we don't have, right? We can't. It's like Mike said in session one, it starts with us responding to the gospel, following Jesus. None of us will be able to lead, I would say, in the way that God has called us to lead, if we're not like following after him, right? It starts there. It's always going to be there. And I believe scripture over and over again focuses on the character of the one who leads, because God knows when the heart is taken care of, the actions will follow suit. C.S. Lewis put it this way, right? The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. You guys have heard that before? So you fix the heart, what? You fix the problem. And this is where the Pharisees, over and over and over, they get tripped up. Matthew records this for us, right? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You pay a tenth of mint, dill, and cumin, and yet you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These things should have been done without neglecting the others. Blind guides, you strain out a gnat but gulp down a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside of it may also become clean. Now listen, you and I can do the work of leadership. We do it all the time, right? But we can do it without the character that God calls us to have, but it will always be void of the kind of power and impact and longevity that the Lord desires in our lives for it to have. If we were to take an honest look at Christianity in America or in the West, I guess you could say, there are, Mike talked about this again, there are tons of influencers. I'm not bagging on anybody or bagging on influencers, but there's tons of influencers. You have tons. We're not short of gifted speakers. You just watch a TED Talk and you're like, dude, that guy can speak, you know? Tons of gifted speakers, tons of really cool pastors, whatever that means to you, right? They have the it factor. They're funny. They're this, whatever that looks like, right? They got the one-liners, and you're like, yeah, Instagram, like whatever that is, right? None of those things are bad, but oftentimes giftings propel people to where character just doesn't hold, right? And the fallout when it happens is really rough. It's rough on the individual. It's rough on their families. It's rough on their communities. It's rough on the churches. And it's rough because it paints a picture to a world that doesn't know Jesus and doesn't want to know him. And it paints a picture to them that we in the church don't even believe what we're talking about. There's a problem, right? I don't think the problems we are seeing in our churches stem from not doing enough. We do a lot. Churches do a lot. I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is we're not spending time camping out in who God has called you to be and dealing with that stuff first, looking at the character. And in a lot of ways, it is so much easier just to do the work, right? We don't have time to focus on the inner, you know? I don't want to think about the whatever, the emotional or the this or the that. There's stuff to do. There's deadlines. People are counting on me, right? And can I just say, and Mike, I believe, said this earlier, that the greatest work that the Holy Spirit desires to do in our lives today is a inner work. Starts from the inside. A work that doesn't directly deal with actions first, deals with the heart, which then ripple effects into everything that you do. That's why maybe if any of you guys have been like fighting sin and you're like, dude, I cannot stop. Mike talked about the stat of porn. I cannot stop watching this right now. I can't. It's horrible. And you just try your hardest and you do the work in it, and that's admirable. There's nothing wrong with it. But you don't address the inner first, right? And you're just left feeling like, oh, this is horrible, right? It's just God desires to do an inner work. It's going to impact you in, and it's going to spread and ripple effect down into your actions. If we want to be leaders, or the leaders that God is calling us to be, we have to be serious about the heart. There's a passage in Romans 12. I don't have a slide because the TV would have to go down to here. I'm going to read this. It's Romans 12. Anybody taking notes, please just write down the address or flip to it right now. Romans 12, 9, starting at 9, going to 21. It's a long passage. Thought about kind of shortening it, but it's just too good. Romans 12, verse 9 says this. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another. Don't wait for somebody to make that first move. It's on you. Do not lack diligence and zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction." I hate that one. "Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful, or give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes." And here, verse 18 is like is one that I think at large that like maybe our churches just in general, we just throw this one out, right? "If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." That is such a loaded verse right there too. "Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, 'Vengeance belongs to me. I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in doing so, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil. Conquer evil with good." Now, here's what's interesting about that passage. It's not a, you know, here's a section of Romans that's talking about leadership. You know, it's this isn't a passage on biblical leadership, but a biblical leader embodies these. They really do. Tell me you wouldn't follow the lead of somebody who embodied that. You go home and you read that passage again. You would follow that man. You would. Tell me if you embodied those things that people wouldn't follow you, that you wouldn't have an influence or an impact in others' lives. And the amazing part about this, right, is that these qualities have nothing to do with your gifting. What you're good at and what you're not good at. What God has specifically given you. It doesn't have anything to do with your giftings, your talents, or your, again, temperaments. It doesn't. It has everything to do with your character as a man. It has everything to do with your heart being renewed by the work that the Lord has done. Now we know obviously nobody can embody this perfectly other than Jesus himself, which is why, you know, our ultimate model in everything will always be Jesus, right? He showed us what it means to lead in love, to lead as a servant. That's an upside down concept in our world. It was an upside down concept during the disciples' world too, right? To lead with compassion and conviction, to lead courageously. And if you read the Gospels controversially, right? I mean, he's doing things that people are like, "You can't do it." And he's like, "I am God." "Yes, I can," right? So we know, the number one, the call to lead, it's a God-given call to all men. Number two, it's about who you are, not what you do, that God is so deeply concerned with our character, and because everything flows from that. The natural question then is, how do I, or how can I become a leader who leads out of this inner work that we talked about, done in my life? How can I, or how can we lead out of who God has made us to be if we are still so much a work in progress that it's painful at times, right? And that leads us to point number three. It is really, and it will always be, about surrender. True biblical leadership, it's fueled by the reality that apart from Jesus, like, we're just not going to get it done. Mike brought this up. Actually, I don't even remember that Mike was going to be using this passage. This is John 15, 4 through 5. Jesus is talking. He says, "Remain in me and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you or us unless we remain in him. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. You and I need to humble ourselves before God and recognize that we were not created to be the hero of the story. That is so difficult for me. I have a complex in my mind where something happens and I'm like, and I think there's a lot of good to it. I want to go and I want to help and I want to help and I want to help. But if I don't get to help, there's an attack on my pride a little bit in very subtle ways. And I'm like, oh, I didn't really know that was in there. We weren't created to be the hero of the story. I have this quote hanging up in my office because I need to be reminded all the time. Tim Mackey, he's one of the head guys over at the Bible Project, if you guys are familiar with that. A pretty awesome tool. Also teaches at a seminary, and he's a rad dude. He said this. He said, true Christian leadership is not about status or self-promotion. Our job isn't to be impressive, but rather to point people to the one who is. That is so freeing to me, because it's not about anything I have to offer, and it's about telling somebody about the God that offers everything, right? That is so encouraging to me, right? I was talking to Leon. You guys know Leon. He does everything here. He can lift like 900 pounds, if you've guys seen him do that. Jeff reminded me of this. Have you guys been to our Resonance on Wednesdays, right? If you stay after and help out, you'll see Leon zipping through refuge on a pallet jack at like 30 miles an hour, right? Almost taking you out. I was talking to Leon. It was either last week or the week before. And I was telling him, he's like, hey, I heard you're speaking. What are you speaking on? And I was giving him a very rough version of where I was at, right? And this is what God's stirring in my heart. And he started talking about the how. Like, that's great, but like how? You know, how? How can we become these kinds of people? We can't do it ourselves, right? We can't white knuckle character no more than, you know, a tree can grow fruit by trying its hardest, right? But just because we can't produce these things in of ourselves, it does not mean we just sit and do nothing. Lazy, apathy, all those different things, right? It doesn't mean that we shrug our shoulders and say, well, God, you got to do it for me. After all, it's not about what I do, right? It's about who I am. It takes surrender. It takes surrender. For some of you in here, that might be like easier than others. And for some of you, this is like the lifelong thing where it's like, it is so brutal. Or maybe you're like me and you think you got it down, and you surrender and you walk away and you like kind of pick it back up, put it back in the pocket, and you don't know. And you're like, oh, dang it, you know, whatever it may be. It takes surrender. It takes full daily dying to ourselves, dying to the thought process that we know better, dying to the thought process that we don't need to rely upon the Holy Spirit or the community that God has placed in our corner. Truthfully, right? That kind of surrender. What do you and I need to surrender to the Lord in our lives to be the men God has called us to be? For me, here's one of the biggest ones. Jesus, I hate confrontation. It's hilarious that he puts me in a place of any kind of leadership, because it turns out you got to do it all the time, right? I hate it. Man, I really don't like that. I don't want to do it. I want to be as far away as I can from it, right? In the past, I'd be like, peace, I'm getting a passport. I'm getting the heck out of here, right? Like, I don't want to do this, right? Surrender. Surrender that to him, right? God, I am so tired of being the only one that seems to be putting in time and effort into this. I don't know how much longer I can hang on. You surrender. A lot of us, you know, a lot of you that are working and it's high stress, you're like, Lord, there's timelines and I don't know what I'm supposed to do in this. You surrender. And again, that doesn't mean you surrender and you're just like, I don't do anything about it. But you holding on to it and hoping that you could be God in that situation won't get you anywhere. Surrender. You and I bring every area of our lives that are lacking, and we surrender these things to the Lordship of Jesus. And when we do, impact and influence will happen naturally. That's just the way that God made it. It's the way he did it, right? When we realize, number one, that God has called each of us to lead, and he knows our abilities, and he knows our lack thereof, right? Number two, when we realize it's more about who we are than what we do, getting the right stuff right and allowing God to work out what he wants to work out. And when we surrender to Jesus fully, completely, do you know what happens? We kind of just said it. We don't just impact those around us. Impact will happen. Ripple effects will happen, right? It will. But we also, it's so much bigger than that. We paint a picture to that same world that doesn't know Jesus, doesn't want to know Jesus. We paint a picture to them what God is all about. And in doing so, we bring God glory. I love the way God institutes that. I want to close with this. If you're a father in here, and I feel like I still got my Pampers on. My son is 4 years old. I do not know what I do not know. But if you're a father in here, God has equipped you to father and lead. And that is not for the person that you think is more able to do it. God chose you. He wasn't poor in his options. He didn't go, oh, I called heads and it was tails, you know, dang it. He chose you. And he chose me, which is humbling and at times terrifying. And I need to submit and surrender that to the Lord. Otherwise, I'm not going to be effective. Let's love our wives in a way that shows Jesus to our kids. Pursuing her daily to the point where maybe our kids will get a glimpse of God's pursuit of them. Like, let's just be the example, right? And regardless if we see the fruit, and this is where I'm speaking, not as this is true in my kids' lives, but true in my life with my dad, who loved me when I was just a person for a very long time. And they're thinking, he's gone. And they're thinking all the different things. And I was still listening. And I was still hearing. And it was, and Siri's still listening on my watch. I was still listening. He didn't see the fruit immediately. It mattered. I'm so grateful that he was persistent. Husbands, God has equipped us to lead our wives with patience. I do not possess that apart from God giving that to me. Courage, understanding. When Jesus says, die to yourself daily, he means it. I need that. Let's take that charge seriously. Men, just across the board, God has called you to lead. And we need to lean into that and be confident in that, maybe more than ever before in your life. Do not be confident in the things that we usually are confident in, right? You look to yourself, your abilities. Have I been in this situation before? No. Now I'm stripped of all my confidence. Instead, look to the Lord, who literally from creation said, I'm calling you purposefully, intelligently to lead. Be confident in that. Remember that who you are matters. Who you and I are becoming every day is one of the most important things about us. God is so deeply concerned with these things. And remember, lastly, that true biblical leadership, it takes flight when surrender to Jesus is championed in our lives. Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful. And again, Lord, I am thankful for who you are. God, I'm thankful that you, even though you know us and you know the things that we struggle with, you know the depths of the things that we struggle with, you know the depths of how inadequate we feel. And God, sometimes nobody else knows that. Not our best friends, not our wives, just you. And through all of that, through the baggage that we've carried through life and the different experiences that were just bum deals, God, we carry all of that. And you look at us and you say, I love you. I have a plan and a purpose for you. I want to use you. You can have such a big impact. And I'm not asking you to be the hero of the story. I'm asking you to allow me to be. And would you just tell people? God, thank you for that. Lord, I just pray for anybody in here that might be struggling with that idea of like, I just feel like I don't have what it takes to lead or to make an impact. God, would you just meet them by your Spirit right now? Would their confidence not be them? In fact, would you strip them of their confidence? Would you strip them of my confidence in of myself or anything that's not of you? Would you strip that, Lord? And what would we be left with, God? Would it just be you? Would it be your Spirit? Jesus, we thank you. And God, I just pray for, again, special blessing over the men that are here right now. Would they go home? Would they lead well? Would they impact well their families, at their works, in their extra, you know, the outlets, all the different things that they do, God, would you be with them in all of that? Again, Lord, we thank you for who we are. We love you. We praise you. And we ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.